You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Friday, April 16th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, Connor Newcomb, and on today's episode, we're going to break down the somewhat frustrating action from the Orioles' doubleheader against the Mariners on Thursday when they lost both the games 4-2 and then 2-1 as Seattle came into Baltimore and took 3 of 4 from the O's. Then we're going to chat with Bryce Patterick. He is the host of Locked On Rangers here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and we will preview the 3-game weekend series between the O's and the Rangers coming up in Arlington Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then we will preview a little more specifically at least the Friday matchup and look forward to what's ahead for the O's and on the pod. But that is all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me every Thursday to get in on the action and talk some O's with me and other Orioles fans and listeners of this podcast. That's over at Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So, you know, we're going to preview the Orioles and the Rangers on this episode, but first, got to talk about what happened in the doubleheader against the Mariners. Mariners take game 1, 4-2, take game 2, 2-1. They come in, take 3 of 4 from the Orioles, and the O's now 5-8 through 13 games on this young 2021 season. So I just want to talk about a couple key points from each game, and we start with game number 1, the 4-2 loss for the Orioles. And obviously the big thing that you take out of this game on the positive note is, of course, that Trey Mancini finally got out of his frustrating stretch and hit a 2-run homer, a monster shot to right center field in the first inning that gave the Orioles a 2-0 lead. He was very frustrated in Tuesday's doubleheader with the hard-hit balls and not getting any hits. He almost took his helmet apart, almost ripped his jersey in half during the game. But he comes out there after the day off on Wednesday, and he does his job and does it very, very well. Rips a 2-run homer in the first off of Marco Gonzalez to give the Orioles a 2-0 lead. Things were looking good early, but the issue after that was basically all the Orioles would do in this game. They only managed to get one other hit down the stretch. Marco Gonzalez settled in, went 5 strong innings, and the Orioles couldn't capitalize on what was, again, you know, not a great but a solid start from Matt Harvey on the hill. He goes 4 2/3, 2 runs on 3 hits, 3 Ks, a walk, and was just a big home run. You know, it came with a couple outs in the 5th inning. O's were up 2-0, and he just left a fastball over the heart of the plate to Mitch Haniger, who hit a 2-run homer and tied that game at 2 in the 5th inning. But the big thing I want to talk about is the Orioles' bullpen usage after Matt Harvey. And talked about this with some on our locker room chat on Thursday. Don't want to miss those chats, usually after Thursday games. But, you know, the Orioles went to Tanner Scott. He came in and got the final out of the 5th, kept the game at 2-2. Orioles did not score, went to the top of the 6th. Scott was back out there. And you could kind of tell, Tanner Scott just did not have the command of his fastball. He starts the 6th inning with a 4-pitch walk, couldn't throw the fastball anywhere near the zone. Then he gets a big strikeout, and then he gets himself another big out on a strikeout, and all of a sudden there's 2 down, and you're thinking, all right, he's done great. He's gotten 3 outs. He had 0 fastball command. Now listen, the slider was top-notch, 89-90, really good control, could throw it for a strike, could throw it for a wipeout pitch. It was looking great. But Scott could not command the fastball really whatsoever in this game. It was actually kind of astonishing. And we know he's basically a fastball slider guy. He essentially did not have his fastball. He only got 2 called strikes and 1 whiff on that fastball. He legitimately got 5 strikes out of the fastball. He threw it 15 times in the inning. 33% strike percentage on your fastball is not what you want on a 4-seamer, especially when you're a 2-pitch pitcher. So basically, Scott had become a 1-pitch guy, and the slider was working, but you know, he got the strikeout of Taylor Trammell. There were 2 down. Dylan Tate, who hadn't pitched in 5 days, a right-hander, was ready in the bullpen, and the right-hander Dylan Moore was coming to the plate, and I thought, okay, Brandon Hyde, you stole 3 outs from Tanner Scott with him basically being a 1-pitch pitcher. You know, his pitch count's up around 20. The righty is ready in the bullpen, and Tate, who hasn't pitched in a while, he's fresh. You've got a righty and Moore at the plate. Seemed like the perfect time to go to Dylan Tate. But Brandon Hyde decided not to. and Tanner Scott gives up a single. And, you know, it was a grounder that just caught past Freddie Galvis into left field. So it's first and second. You know, you're still in a tie game 2-2. And I'm thinking, okay, now you've seen he's got a couple base runners on. You got to go to Dylan Tate. Even at that point, Paul Fry was getting ready in the bullpen. You could have gone to Paul Fry as well. But because it was a lefty up again, he keeps Scott in there against J.P. Crawford. The pitch count goes above 30. He hangs a slider a little bit. Good piece of hitting from Crawford. Hits it down the right field line. Two-run double. Makes it 4-2. And, of course, that eventually was your final score. But, you know, then he does finally take Scott out. Paul Fry comes in and gets the final out of the inning on the first pitch he throws in the top of the sixth to keep it 4-2, and never even used Dylan Tate, who didn't pitch again. And even if he throws tonight, it'll be 6 days in between appearances for Dylan Tate, which is a little concerning for him and for the Orioles. But I just couldn't imagine why Brandon Hyde didn't go to Dylan Tate. I mean, you know, Tanner Scott's thrown around 20 pitches in each of his outing. He was up above 30 pitches. I get it that he was going after a lefty, but Dylan Tate has that good movement on his fastball that he can get lefties out as well. But you should have brought him in for the righty in Dylan Moore and gotten Scott out of there, who, again, you know, it's not just the pitch count. He was literally a one-pitch pitcher. Unless you're Mariano Rivera, guys are going to get hits eventually when they know you're only throwing the slider. You know, he ended up in the inning, I mentioned 5 out of 15 fastballs were strikes. You know, he ended up throwing in the inning 19 sliders to 15 fastballs. You're not going to see him usually throw more sliders than fastballs, but he had to because he couldn't locate the four-seamer. And again, it was one of his best days of his slider this season, but he just had no fastball command, and he was basically going all sliders, and J.P. Crawford sits on it, and even though he made a solid pitch, he knew the slider was coming, and he was able to deposit it into right field. So didn't really get that decision from Brandon Hyde. It was nice that Paul Fry finally got the out. It was nice also to see Sean Armstrong coming in the seventh. He's had a really rough time this year, but he did put up a zero in the seventh inning, which was a really good sign for the Orioles and Armstrong, but just no offense, and they fell 4-2. And then, you know, you move on to game number two, which was just continuance of frustratingly bad offense. You know, you got Bruce Zimmerman out there, and again, you know, he doesn't give you lockdown amazing stuff, but he does good enough. Zimmerman, 5 innings, 2 runs on 6 hits, 2 Ks, 3 walks, and he allowed 2 solo home runs in the game. 1 to Dylan Moore, which gave Seattle a 1-0 lead, and then 1 was hit in the 5th by Mitch Haniger once again that put the Mariners up 2-1 after Freddie Galvis, of all people, had hit his first Oriole homer, a solo shot, to tie the game at 1 in the 3rd. But again, the Orioles couldn't hit. They had 3 hits in Game 2. You had the Galvis home run, and then you had DJ Stewart and Rio Ruiz come up with singles. You also had Stewart walk once and Santander walk once. That was your 5 base runners in that 7-inning game in Game 2 of the doubleheader, and it didn't matter that Bruce Zimmerman pitched that well. Didn't matter that Travis Lakins threw a 1-2-3 inning, or that Cole Sulcer threw a scoreless 7th with a couple of strikeouts as the 27th man today for the Orioles. Good to see Lakins and Sulcer throwing well out of the bullpen. That didn't matter because the Orioles faced Justin Dunn, who in his first start of the season gave up 8 walks. He walked 8 batters in 4 2/3, and the Orioles allow him to go 5 innings, 1 run, 6 Ks, just 2 walks, and just 2 hits for the Orioles. The O's were just not patient against Dunn, and then they had some bad luck. You know, Santander hits into that weird double play in the 6th after DJ Stewart walked, and then he got to 2nd on a wild pitch. Santander hits a ball that looks like, at the very least, it's a ground ball to 2nd that would have gotten Stewart to 3rd. At best, it's a single up the middle that scores a run. Stewart takes off, and somehow the pitcher, Will Vest, reaches down and catches it. Don't know how he did, but caught it on a fly and doubles Stewart off at 2nd. Then you have the 7th inning where Keenan Middleton comes out for the save. He goes 3-0 on Michael Franco with pitches nowhere close. Franco swings at a 3-0 pitch that was probably ball 4 and grounds out. Should have been a runner on first to start the inning. Instead, there's 1 out and the Orioles go down in the inning. So just a couple of frustrating losses for the O's against the Mariners, who, you know, to give them credit, playing good baseball. They've won 3 of 4. They're in first place in the AL West right now. But for the O's, you know, at the very least, I will say, you know, it's a good discussion to kind of look at the Mariners versus the Orioles roster. I would say the Mariners probably do have a better roster than the Orioles right now, but it's not like the Mariners are a great team. They're a team that's going to lose a lot of games this year. I will say with the Orioles in a little bit of a rut right now, it is nice that they are playing who I believe at this point is the worst team in the American League. That is the Texas Rangers, and that's who the Orioles will see in Arlington for three games this weekend. And coming up after the break, Bryce Patterick is going to join us. He is the host of Locked On Rangers here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We preview the three starting pitchers that the Rangers will send out there, and we talk about who is hitting in really what is maybe the most abysmal lineup in baseball. We'll talk about all that with Bryce Patterick of Locked On Rangers after this break. So we'll get to the Orioles-Rangers preview in a second, but first, this episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today, rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day, only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and it's fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. I checked these rings out for myself and truly am blown away by the beautiful simple ring from Lola Fenhurst. And if you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10, only at BlueNile.com. All right, Connor Newcomb, Bryce Patterick here, Locked On Orioles, Locked On Rangers. Bit of a crossover here before the three-game weekend series at Camden Yards between the Rangers and the Orioles. And Bryce, I'm going to be honest, I'm kind of surprised both of these teams have five wins at this point. I think it's been a pleasant surprise for both of these teams.
Yeah, absolutely. This team is doing very well right now and went in and have a chance to at least split a series with the Rays, which makes literally no sense given how badly they were destroyed in the sweep by the Padres in their own home place this past weekend. So if you're looking for a Rangers expert, apparently it's not me, because I said the starting rotation was going to be the worst, one of the worst, if not the worst in baseball, and by like a mile and in several seasons. But right now they have the best ERA among starting rotations in base or in the AL at 2.15. Their WHIP of 1.15 is fourth in the AL. I don't understand what I'm watching besides just small sample size.
Yeah, it has been small sample size, and you know, wanted to start with those starting pitchers. Rangers have named their three for the weekend. They're going to start with Mike Foltynewicz in this series on Friday, who is a guy who, you know, was basically cast off in Atlanta. You know, the velocity was gone, couldn't throw any strikes. Have they rehabilitated him enough to make him a major league average starter, at least to this point in Texas?
That is the hope. That is the entire hope from him. His first start was kind of weird. He struck out seven batters. He walked three and gave up two home runs and threw about 100 pitches in just four innings. He wasn't super effective. He still threw three walks in his next game, only gave up one home run, but only allowed one run in seven innings. He looked excellent. He just looked locked in. The velocity is back. The slider is the key for him, because the slider isn't quite back to where it was when he was an all-star. The velocity is back. He's sitting mid-90s, which is really, really good sign for him. But he needs that slider to come back and not only be effective, but be able to control it and keep it in the strike zone and only throw it out of the strike zone when he actually wants to. So that's what the Rangers are hoping for. They're definitely going to trade him at the deadline if they think they can get some value in him. Kohei Arihara is a guy who I really like going in. This is his first year in the big leagues and just had a very good start against Tampa Bay. He's 28 years old. It's his first year in the big leagues. He's thrown just under 15 innings. The strikeouts were never going to be a big thing, but he was, I believe he led all of organized baseball throughout the world in innings pitched last year because he had so close to a regular season. He led Nippon Professional Baseball in Japan with 166 innings last year. And I don't think anybody in the majors came anywhere close to that. And I don't believe anyone in Korea did either. So I think that was kind of a good time to bring over a guy who has been reliable throughout his career to get you a bunch of innings in a year where you're going from your starting pitchers throwing probably two to three times as many innings at least than they threw last year. So just kind of a guy who has been through it and I think will hold up very well.
Yeah, luckily for the Orioles, they're going to miss him, it looks like, this weekend, and he's pitched well. But a guy that's pitched even better and, frankly, has been the Rangers' best starter so far is Dane Dunning, who is going to go in game two. Two starts, nine innings, 11 strikeouts, one run, two walks. I mean, you know, he was seemingly putting it together some in Chicago. Then he had some weird outings where, you know, he really wasn't missing any bats. But seems like so far so good for Dunning in a Rangers uniform.
Yeah, it's been really solid. He's a guy who was the main piece in the Lance Lynn trade. The strikeouts, I think, are a bit of a misnomer. I don't think he's going to keep up this rate. I don't think he's going to keep, 11 Ks per nine throughout the season. He's definitely not a guy who has a bunch of strikeout stuff, but he's been very solid. He's been consistent. And the Rangers starting pitching staff, it's kind of weird because they're doing a lot of piggyback starting. It's kind of just depends on the day who's actually going to get relieved and throw only a few innings, because Kyle Cody is also doing some piggyback starting. So is Taylor Hearn out of relief. And it's just kind of Wes Benjamin as well. So it just kind of depends on the game, who is actually going to be going how long. And they just kind of ride that out as it goes. But Dane Dunning has been a nice surprise for the Rangers. The Rangers are literally just looking for him to be major league average. I didn't think that almost, I think if they had at the beginning of the season, if they had one or two starters that were around major league average, that would be better than I expected going in. And right now they're all performing pretty well.
So then they will finish with Kyle Gibson, who was the opening day starter for the Rangers. And man, what a weird season he has had. Gibson has already made three starts. On opening day against Kansas City, he gives up five runs. He records one out and leaves the game. His second start against Toronto, he goes six scoreless and strikes out eight. And then his third start against Tampa this week, you know, it was good as well. But, you know, he gave up the one run over seven innings, but there was basically no strikeout stuff. He only struck out three. So kind of three distinctly different starts from Kyle Gibson. So kind of those three, which is the Kyle Gibson we should expect?
I think it's a mix between all of them. I mean, Kyle Gibson throughout his entire career has been a guy who has been fairly inconsistent, because he'll have games where he just kind of poops the bed like he did opening day and just gets shellacked and doesn't make it out of the first inning. And then he'll every once in a while have these really great starts of like six, seven innings with no runs or one run and bust out the strikeout stuff. I don't think he's going to have a really great Ks per nine. The eight strikeouts in six innings against Toronto was a little bit of a outlier, I think. I don't think he's going to pitch six or seven innings every game, but if he did, that would be a huge, huge win for the Rangers. But he's a guy who is their opening day starter. He's their number one. He's their guy who they are putting the most trust in this rotation to be a consistent starting pitcher. His velocity has ticked up a little bit. He was hitting 96 quite consistently against Toronto. I think he was against Tampa Bay as well, but he had not thrown above 95 in his career, I don't think. So the uptick in velocity is it's nice to see from him. But I think the real answer of who is the real Kyle Gibson is somewhat of an amalgam between these three starts. Like, it feels like maybe he's not going to be great two out of three starts. Maybe it's going to be, I don't know, two out of five, three out of five. Just kind of depends. But the two back-to-back starts of that he's done the last two have been very, very solid and very impressive to see.
Yeah, the Orioles know a lot about Gibson. He's made 11 career starts against the Orioles. The O's went for a stretch in the mid-2010s where they seemingly played the Twins for opening day every single year. And Gibson was always, you know, he wasn't always the opening day starter, but was always one of the three starters the Orioles would see to start the season. You know, he's got a 4.31 ERA, so not too bad in his career against the Orioles. But wanted to move to the Rangers hitting, because obviously the reason why they've even won five games is because of the pitching. And on the hitting side, you know, you've got most of your everyday players, you know, not hitting great. And then you have some kind of more part-time guys who have some gaudy numbers in like Trevino and Culberson. So of the everyday players, who has at least been kind of the anchor of the lineup?
Well, it kind of has been Jose Trevino, because he is the everyday starting catcher. Jonah Heim has played sparingly so far, but he still has one of the highest OPSs on the team with an 884, but that'll happen in a limited sample size. Adolis Garcia is a guy who's going to be playing quite a bit going forward. He's a 28-year-old. I think this is his breakthrough moment. Now the Rangers really kind of did Ron Guzman dirty in that they traded for Nate Lowe and basically, like, without saying it, kind of said, Ronald Guzman, your time is basically up here. Even though he had an incredible season once he came back from the minors, he did very, very well in a limited sample during the 2020 end of the regular season. And then he won the Dominican Summer Winter League MVP because he was an offensive, like, just masher. And he did extremely well offensively in spring training. But then he got hurt because they decided to play Nate Lowe consistently at first base. And even the game that he got hurt in Tampa Bay, playing left field, which he has no business playing left field. He was fine, but it was just kind of a weird play. He was trying to avoid a collision with the shortstop and the third baseman, and he tweaked his knee. He'll probably be out about 10 days to 2 weeks. But, yeah, Joey Gallo has been doing very well. He's been on base in every single game of the Rangers this season. He, I believe, leads the league in walks with 11 walks so far. He's been extremely patient, and he only has one home run, but that's because pitchers are just afraid of him. So the threat of his power has become as good of a weapon for him as his actual power is. So that's been kind of where we're going from there. Nate Lowe had an amazing first week, kind of dropped off lately, but is kind of bringing it back around. But I thought this lineup would be much better, and it really hasn't been so far. And a lot of it's because they're playing two guys who have no business being in the pitching or hitting against major league pitching in Leody Taveras and Anderson Tejeda. Tejeda is kind of not playing as much lately, but they're still giving Leody Taveras every day at bats, even though his numbers are quite tragic right now.
We will get back to the Orioles and Rangers preview in just a second, but first, gotta tell you about Built Bar. Now, you know those OG flavors of Built Bars, like the coconut almond, peanut butter, banana bread, coconut, and others, but they have the 6 new flavors as well, which make them even better. Caramel brownie, cherry barcia, apple almond crisp, just to name a few. Built Bars are delicious. We know it. They're covered in 100% chocolate, but the best part about them, they're delicious and healthy. You're not going to get that combination many other places. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. Just take a look at the coconut almond bar. It's got 18 grams of protein, just 180 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and only 5 grams of net carbs. These bars are nutritious and they are delicious. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15. For 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Now, we've got the NBA in full swing. We've got the NHL in full swing. Of course, Major League Baseball. And you've got your golf tournaments going on as well with the Masters just last week. But it's not just sports you can wager on over at BetOnline.ag. They even cover award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline.ag has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and best of all, it's free to sign up. So head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that is promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit over at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So our thanks again go out to Bryce Patterick, the host of Locked On Rangers here on the Locked On Podcast Network, for joining us to preview this 3-game series in Arlington between the Orioles and the Rangers. Kind of interesting to hear him talk about, you know, the Rangers starting rotation. It kind of sounds like the Orioles, but even better. You know, nobody expected anything from kind of a group of nobodies, and so far it's been really good from those Rangers starters. That does not bear well against an Orioles offense that is really scuffling at the moment. But the Ranger offense, as we talked about, you know, Joey Gallo has been pretty good. They've had some part-time players hitting well, but it has been bad. And of course, they were just no hit by Joe Musgrove last week. So we will take a look at the pitching matchups and the game times going on this weekend and what's ahead on the pod. But first, got to tell you about two other podcasts here on the Locked On Podcast Network. The first one is the Locked On Today podcast. You can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. And for you fantasy baseball players out there, you can be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So it's the Orioles and the Rangers, three games at the new Rangers ballpark in Arlington, starting tonight, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. Of course, you probably saw these scary videos from opening day with the Rangers having full capacity in their stadiums. That has been pulled back a bit, but there are still going to be a lot of people in that ballpark, and we'll kind of get a full feeling of what that feels like to watch that many fans in the stands for a game. But the Friday game definitely starts with an interesting pitching matchup. The Orioles will send Jorge Lopez to the mound. He has an 11.42 ERA through two starts. If things do not go well tonight for Jorge Lopez, we could potentially see him moved out of the rotation. You could see an Adam Pletko, maybe a Wade LeBlanc, maybe others get a shot at a rotation spot. He's going to go against Mike Foltynewicz, who actually thought the Orioles might take a flyer on this offseason, who kind of, you know, did not pan out with the Braves, lost his stuff, lost his velocity, didn't really pitch last year, lost his command. He's come back and been a major league average pitcher through two starts for the Rangers, so we'll see how that goes on Friday. That is an 8:05 Eastern time start on Masson. Saturday is a 7:05 game. Dane Dunning goes for Texas. We talked about him with Bryce as well, the right-hander who came over as the main piece in the Lance Lynn trade. He was a top prospect with the White Sox. He's a very interesting pitcher. He's a guy that will frustrate you because he won't get a lot of strikeouts, but he will just make you hit ground ball, soft contact, pop up. It's kind of a frustrating watch when you look up. He's through seven innings. You've only struck out once as a team, but you only have one run on the board. He's been good through one start. Hopefully the Orioles can get to him in this one. Orioles have TBD starting for that one. Dean Kramer would potentially be the starter. He would be the one in line. It would be on short rest, but he did only throw three innings on Tuesday. That would obviously give him only 3 days of rest, but with only throwing three innings, he could do that and be a little limited. If he doesn't go, you could see a Wade LeBlanc or an Adam Pletko, you know, maybe open the game, and the Orioles go with some sort of bullpen game in that one on Saturday, but we should see Dean Kramer in some capacity, I would think. And then the Sunday game is a 2:35 p.m. Eastern time start. The ace, John Means, back on the hill. Coming off his worst start of the season, which was still five innings, three runs, we will see him make his fourth start against the righty Kyle Gibson, who, you know, I feel like Orioles fans, we've seen him a million times in a Twins uniform. He is pitching for the Rangers. Rangers pitching staff has been better than expected. Offense has been really, really bad as expected. They are not a good team. This could turn out to probably be the two worst teams in the American League. Two teams probably battling for the number one pick in next year's draft. So don't think any other eyes besides Orioles and Rangers fans will be in on this series. But hey, I know you all will be watching. Then we will be back here on the podcast on Monday to recap all the action from the three games in Arlington. We know there won't be any rainouts because they have a dome there. So we will give the three big takeaways from the weekend series. Then next week on the pod, the Orioles have the Marlins for a two-game set Tuesday and Wednesday. We will preview that. We will also be talking some Orioles prospects with Eric Garfield of the Utah Street Report, who is down watching the O's prospects in Sarasota. We will have some good chats with him, and a lot of good stuff coming up on the podcast next week. But again, we'll be back Monday to recap the weekend series against the Rangers. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.